Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. I am your host, Tramell Thompson, and we have some things to talk about today, as we have every show. We always got some things to talk about every single day. But what I need for you guys, first of all, how you doing? Good afternoon, good morning, good night. Whenever you decide to view this live, please view it. What I need for you guys to do, you know how we start off every show. We start off every show like this. I need you guys to take a couple of minutes, 60 seconds, 120 seconds, to share out the platform. Let me know what's going on. Let me know if everything is working well. Let's get the show out there, because we live right now. We like a lot of people to tune in. And as you can see, the phone lines are open. You could call in live, 563-999-3714. I don't have a lot of time today. Like, I can't be on with you guys for 2 hours, but I can do like an hour and a half with you guys. I got to hop to a meeting, but tap in, call in. We go talk about some things. You know, as y'all can see on my page, I ran into Senator Schumer. I think you guys deserve some context on that regarding what I brought up. You know, I brought up some things, a couple of things. The camera does not show everything, but let me just make sure I share this out to the proper pages so we can get this crack in the proper way. And just get it out to those pages. Make sure y'all hear me loud and clear. Everything looks good. Like I said, the phone lines are open. The phone lines are open. Let me just put my... get this out there to everyone, and then you guys can see out the rest. Make sure that you liking and subscribing to the channel. Make sure you're doing that. It's very rare that I go live this time of day on the platform. I like to go live at nighttime. A lot of people tune in. And I believe today I am also streaming live on Instagram. I don't know how that's going to look, but I should go over there and check it out right now. Let me see if Instagram is sharing me live, simultaneously, everywhere. We got some things to talk about. Let me see if I'm live on Instagram. I'm not live on Instagram. I don't know what's going on with that. But it is whatever. So let's jump straight into this stuff. I want to know if you guys seen this on the subway. This is going to surprise some people. This is definitely going to surprise some people. But I want to know, did you guys see this on the subway? For some odd reason, someone decided to put a KFC, I mean, not even KFC, CFC, I guess this stands for colored fried chicken, with this racist face, the coon face, on the train. Now, come to find out that this is real. It's real because MTA management sent out an email telling the workers, to the TSS, the other managers, to watch out for it, right? Because they said it's on multiple trains, not just one train. So everyone's saying, oh, you know, this could have possibly been fake, and this, now this is not fake. MTA management is definitely looking at it. MTA management is definitely looking at it. So it's not fake. It's very offensive. But, you know, knowing this company, you know, they don't care. They don't care. We know that. They do not care. They can say whatever they want to say. Everyone knows the MTA does not care about certain things. They only care when they put on blast. They are reactive instead of proactive. That's just how it works for them, right? That's all that they care about. Oh, I forgot to mention, if you're watching live right now, I think right now I am live on Instagram. I got to fix. Make sure you could donate via Cash App. Cash App is $Progressive Action 100. Also, like, share, subscribe. To be a member of the channel on YouTube, it's only 99 cents, so make sure you guys do that. Yeah, but this is wild offensive. It is real. It's not Photoshop. Management knows about it from what I understand, and that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Let's see what else we got going on here. Oh, did y'all see this? Did y'all see this? Trump has sat down with the Teamsters, right? And this is a smart move by the Teamsters because they are putting their employees first. And one thing that I noticed that they're doing is that they're not picking sides. They did not only sit down with Trump. They sat down with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., for those who don't know. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president as an independent. And I believe he's going to sit next to Joe Biden in the future. But the thing is that he is sitting down with folks and or unions. The unions are weighing their options and saying, hey, we want to sit down with all the candidates to see who is the best candidate for us. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because a union like TWU Local 100 and the TWU International, why wouldn't they sit down with presidential candidates the same way how the Teamsters are? See, we could say, you know, the Teamsters get this, the Teamsters get that. It's because the Teamsters' leadership is smart. They don't believe in political tribalism. They sitting down with the independents, such as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They are sitting down with the Democrats. They're sitting down with the Republicans and saying, who got the best plan for the working class? Who has the best plan for union members? Which is very, 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 very important. It's very important. I don't understand why other unions is not doing that. It makes absolutely no sense as to why that's not happening, right? Make absolutely no sense, no sense whatsoever. No sense whatsoever. You want to know why we do so bad? It's because our union administration, our union leadership is more focused on being in bed with these politicians instead of truly advocating for what we really need and for what we really deserve. I truly think that our leadership is so starstruck, right? They're so starstruck that they get next to these politicians and, you know, ask them for pictures and then go back home to their family and say, hey, kids, wife, moms, dad, look who I took a picture with today. Look who I met today. For me, it's more about that for them. Because have you ever in the history of Local 100 seen the union advocate for your issues in front of politicians? Let's be honest. Did you ever see that? Did you ever see your union actually advocate for your issues? Let me know. You know what I mean? It's Black History Month. This union is mostly black. No excitement going around here. But shout out to the Teamsters for making moves for their members. Now, yesterday, I had went to a political event hosted by State Assemblyman Eddie Gibbs on the east side of Harlem. And I ran into someone. Yes. I ran into someone. And that someone was Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Now, I'm going to be honest, man. When I seen Senator Schumer walk through the door, I wanted to go at him. But I had to remember where I was at. I was at a guy that I respect, political event. I don't hate Schumer or nothing like that. But I felt like my blood started boiling, like I have to say something to this guy. And there's a way to go about things, right? You may not see eye to eye with someone. You may consider them an enemy. They're on separate sides of the aisles. But that don't mean that you don't have that you conduct yourself in an unprofessional manner. Right? There's a way to civilly go after politicians. You don't have to be aggressive, because you go there and be aggressive, guess what? It's not gonna work in your best interest. Especially when you're getting at these powerful politicians, right? The problem that I feel with Local 100 is that they have lost their way. When you look at the leadership of Local 100, I truly feel that they have lost their way in knowing how to advocate for us, how to fight for us, and how to put the members first. They lost their way. And when I seen Senator Schumer, you know, I mean, I don't have to tell y'all what I said. I'll just show y'all. I'll tell y'all. Now, there was more said in that video. After the camera stopped rolling, he kept continuing to engage with me and talk about, you know, what they did put in the bill. And, you know, they're not finished. They're not done with the hazard pay thing. And I'm like, yo, Schumer, that's not what it looks like. You guys are not even mentioning it no more. And it's out of sight, out of mind. If you continue to say that you for hazard pay for the workers, then why y'all not raising the issue anymore? And that was the argument. And he was trying to reassure me that that wasn't the case. He was definitely trying to reassure me that that wasn't the case when, you know, we see, we have eyes, we have ears. We can literally see exactly what's going on, right? We don't need, we don't have to listen to what he's saying. We can just look at his actions. But the union, we can say for a fact, is not even pressing hazard pay. In fact, I can't even remember the last time they said hazard pay. When you listen to what Senator Schumer said, you know, we got money in the transportation bill to stop layoffs. That layoff thing was BS. And that was the lie that the MTA had told Senator Schumer regarding that. And let me explain that. Anyone who works in the subways, anyone who works underground in the subways, if you look at the countdown clocks, right, you're guaranteed to see the reason for delays is because we don't have enough crews, right? So how can there be layoffs when the MTA themselves is saying that they don't have enough crews to fulfill the work, right? There's a revolving door of workers, Tier 6 workers that's coming. They not with none of this disrespect. They not with none of how the MTA is running the system. You know, just simply being on board and they sending you throughout the system. You starting at Coney Island, you ending up the 179th Street, Queens. Meanwhile, you live in Staten Island. Like, they do wild stuff, and they choose. It's a choice for the MTA, a deliberate choice for them to operate that way when they really don't have to. right? So there's a revolving door of workers coming on the property, and the MTA, they just can't maintain employees here. You even have some employees. I spoke to a young lady yesterday, and she told me that she was waiting until she got 10 years in so she could be vested. So she could be vested so she can leave, right? And she left, right? So they can't maintain the workforce here. So all of that saying, oh, you know, we kept you guys jobs, we gave them more money. Yeah, that sound good, but that's not what's really happening. The truth is that the MTA can't maintain workers here. The truth of the matter is the pay is not good. The night differential is poor. Your work-home-life balance sucks for, like, the first 5 years. And the MTA deliberately operate this way, and that's how they decide to do stuff. I don't understand why they want to create a crucible. I don't understand why they want to, like, it feel like a gang initiation. Like, oh, you must go through this to get through that. They could make this job way better than what it is. They could make this job way better than what it is, and it's something that they choose not to do for whatever their reasons are. And, you know, I just don't get it. Maybe you guys get it. You could call in live on 563-999-3714. I would definitely like to hear what you guys got to say before I get off. Oh, Richard Davis. Before we get to Richard Davey, we're going to talk about you for a second. And we're going to talk about Mr. Hypocrisy himself, John Samuelson. John Samuelson, about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, somewhere around there, stood with bus drivers who sued the MTA for $30 million over a sexual harassing supervisor, right? Now, I don't need to get into the details of that case. But Samuelson, let me ask you this again, because you seem not to want to respond to emails. You seem to not, you know, you want to duck and dodge the questions that's being asked. Why the hypocrisy? Your prized possession, Richard Davis, Davy, I'm going to get to you in a second. Richard Davis was brought up in a lawsuit for one, for gender-motivated violence, beating up his ex, Nicole Hecker. And two, sexual harassment, in which he said some wild crazy. The investigator said he said the wild crazy stuff, but for some reason, just because they were a couple 8 years ago, that he was allowed to say what he said because of their past relationship. This is exactly what the investigator said. Now, I've done covered this for like 2-3 shows. I don't need to cover this any further. My question is to John Samuelson. Why the hypocrisy? Why was it so easy for you to stand with them, but you can't stand with Nicole Hecker? And let me remind you, someone who you hired, someone who Richard Davis was mad at you, that you hired her in that position because he wanted to have the power against her. You haven't decided to do a press conference. You didn't reach out to her. You didn't do anything. Nothing at all. Why the silence? Is sexual harassment is something that you only address when the MTA is wrong and not when one of your own people is wrong? Is sexual harassment wrong all across the board, or it matters who's being accused? I just need to know. I just need to know. I just want to know how you work. You know, I don't like when people burn the candle from both ends. Now, I was speaking with somebody that's down with Richie Davis. And they was like, look, Tramell, he's not going to step down, right? And I said, all right, cool. You know, nope, whatever. He ain't going to step down. His ego getting in the way. I get it. He'd rather take other people down with him. He's not a man's man. He's not going to go down and stand on his own square and be accountable. He's going to try to drag other people down with him. I get it. Cool. But this is what they said, that there's possibly more stuff to come down the pipeline regarding those same type of allegations. In fact, what was told to me was that he has a long history of messing with women in Map Store. And from the conversation that I gathered was that more, or somebody else is in the pipeline to come forward. I don't know who they are, but that's what I gathered, and this came from someone that has information. So, Samson, what's going on? What's really going on with you? Why the hypocrisy? That's all that I need to know. Oh, so now I want to get to New York City Transit President Richard Davey. I want to get to Richard Davey. Now, when Richard Davey or Davey, I have to get the correct pronunciation of his last name. But when he came to New York City Transit, I did a research on him. And it was strange because I could not find anything about him. There wasn't no scandal. There wasn't no anything. Let me see. We got a caller on the phone. Let me see what caller this is before I start that story.
Hello, how you doing?
Now live on Progressive Action TV. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Choma, how you doing?
What's your name?
How's everything? It's Garcia from the Bronx.
So, what's going on?
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
What's on your mind?
Say that, you know, just to call out to all the brothers and sisters not to be scared to speak up, because we all know across the board all the things that are going on and have been going on, but we all choose to be quiet and ignore it in hopes that it's not us. You understand? So then when the people get retaliated against, then they want to speak up. But I think now is the moment to speak up and let the bones out of the closet and not be quiet. Being a map, you know, map store bus operator is a dangerous times for us because there's an easy way to eliminate us, you know, and get rid of us when the system is rigged against us. And that's why a lot of people are intimidated. And we know about these allegations across the board, and we don't have any specifics because the people a lot of times are quiet, scared for their life, or scared for their jobs that they choose to be accomplices. And just being quiet is being an accomplice to all the things that are happening, and the abuse and the mistreatment. And you know, the time I've been on the job has changed a lot. And that's my concern. Ever since COVID, the job has changed so much. Like, you know, you talk about hazard pay with Samuelson and everything. It is a disgrace that we never even got hazard pay. And on top of that, the fact that all these people died or got sick or had to be forced into retirement because of their ailments and their sicknesses. And like myself, I haven't been the same ever since COVID, you know, because we're exposed to it repeatedly, you know, and we a lot of us suffer from ailments, unknown ailments that the MTA doesn't want to acknowledge. And instead, what they do, they put down the hammer on workers' comp. They bring down the hammer on medical leave. FMLA, they bring down the hammer. They bring down the hammer on the retirees' medical, those same retirees that retired because of, you know, that were because of illnesses. So it's like, how can I say? At this point, it's people's lives at risk and people's livelihood. And that's what I say, that why is everyone so quiet and not willing to speak? That's my question. Why is everyone so quiet?
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Because you be in my inbox, Tramell, we need unity, we need this, we need that, right? I get that. Tramell Thompson is not running for president of TWU Local 100, right? You have two other individuals that's running for TWU, president of Local 100. Why aren't you encouraging them? Because everybody worrying about two slates. Tramell Thompson is not running for president. Why isn't there a push to get the two people who are running for president to come together so it won't be a split slate?
My belief is that the system is so corrupted and so leaned and under control that at this point it doesn't matter who's president. At this point, that's how corrupted and bad the system is. As you know, Richard Davis was just appointed. A lot of the officers were just appointed. They weren't elected. And as you saw in the
Hold on. Let's forget about that.
Yeah.
Let's get to what the question is. Why isn't people asking for two people who are running for president to come together? Why is people skipping to me?
I think you've been the source of information for 10 years, and a lot of people trust you, and a lot of people know your track record. So that's why a lot of people turn to you for leadership and for guidance as to how to proceed. And you have a lot of people that follow you, and they follow your lead. And if you say let's do this, they'll do it because they trust your judgment. You understand? So, and that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. And the whole point is that we all bring it all together, no matter where you come from, because we're losing too much. And if things keep going the way they're going, we're going to lose everything. We're going to lose our jobs. We're going to lose our benefits. Yeah.
I think the two people that's running for president, they should come together. They should figure it out. And then I'll figure it out from there. But if they don't come together, then I don't want to hear nothing about no unity.
That's what I'm saying. I want everyone to come together and understand who is the one causing us damage. That it comes all the way from the international to the management to the current union that we have in place. Everyone's causing us damage. But there are some good people that are being, trying their best to do good and have been railroaded or stopped from trying to do good. You understand? That's my main issue, that I think that a lot of people that are trying to do good have been stopped from doing good, and a lot of people have been forced to pick sides. And, you know, I agree with you. Everyone should come together, and everyone, you know, not just put the pressure on you and feel like you're the ones that are going to solve all the problems. We collectively, all together, have to solve the problems together as a team, because in the end of the day, we're all transit workers, we're all brothers and sisters, and we got to do the best we can for each other. You understand? And injustice somewhere is injustice everywhere. So just seeing the harassment and the abuse of our sisters as if they is not important, it's something we should all be involved in and be calling out management, and not also calling out the making as much noise as possible, calling everyone out and to get involved in the fight. And it's not fair. I know it's not fair for everyone to expect you to lead the charge. You got your hands full all the time, and everyone thinks you're the point person. Like you said, each person has to do their part. Everyone has to do their part, you know. John F. Kennedy said the biggest thing you can, the hardest thing to do was to get people to do what you want them to do. You know what I mean? So me and you could wish for everyone to come together But bringing them together is to control everyone. Just like we want our brothers and sisters to speak up and fight for their jobs and fight for their union and fight for what is right. It's a long battle, and hopefully, I'm hoping that everyone gets it together and puts their differences to the side and understand that management and those people that are hurting us are the ones that are doing bad to us, are the ones that need to be are the ones that should be targeted. Each one of us individually don't stand a chance unless we all come together and use the force and the power of unity. That was my point. You understand, Tramo? And I agree with you. They should, all right? Have a good night. And thank you for pointing these things out. And you keep fighting, even though, you know, you went through so much. Believe me, most of our brothers and sisters would drop out. They already dropped out, and they haven't been through, like, half the stuff you've been through. You understand? So I tell people, yo, you got to have the guts this guy has. If everyone had the guts and fought like you did, man, no one can mess with us in this state or in this city or in this country if we all had that fight. You understand? If we all had that fight and didn't back down, listen, if there was 47,000 of us doing the same thing you're doing, man, they'll have a problem in their hands. They'll have a big problem in their hands. You understand?
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Have a good day, all right? Okay, bye.
Yeah. That was Map Store bus operator Celso Garcia, friend to the show. Yeah, but I just wanted to know that I'm not running for president of Local 100, right? There's two other people running for president. You know what? Unity starts at the top. They want to be leaders. They got to figure out how to come together and how to make this work, right? Because guess what? I can win my department without either slate. It don't matter for me, right? If they can't get it together, then I don't know what to tell them. That's what they should do. Now, back to what I was saying. New York City, wait, first of all, before I get into that, the phone lines are open, 563-999-3714. Now, when Richard Davi came to New York City Transit, first thing I do is go online to see what kind of boss they was, right? He came from Boston. For some reason, I could not find anything on this guy. My spidey senses is going off. It said, Tramell, there's something going on with this guy. Searched on the internet. Now, I'm talking about 2 years ago, like basically scrubbed off the internet. He definitely had to get his information scrubbed. I have never seen anything like this before. Then the other day, something was like, Tramell, do a more in-depth search of Mr. Davi to see what you come up with. And I came up with some, I mean, I ain't come up with anything. I found some things regarding Mr. Davi. And let's take a look at it. Mr. Davi was being accused of basically being a part of the old boys network. Team 5, whistleblower says safety issues, fraud, political favoritism at T. The T is where Mr. Davi worked. A Team 5 investigation is uncovering new allegations of fraud, safety problems, and political favoritism at the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, all of which are being brought to light by a man who used to be one of the agency's top safety officials. So you have a safety official from Boston saying that there's safety issues, fraud, and political favoritism. He says, I took it personal when the waste and abuse going on at the MBTA was costing taxpayers money, says Steve Trichon, who told Team 5 Investigates when he tried to end the waste, fraud, and abuse that he uncovered, he was stopped dead in his tracks. If there was a book out there called Management 101 for Dummies and they had a list of top 10 things not to do, they do those top 10 things every day. Doesn't that sound like New York City Transit? Does New York City Transit sound like it got better safety-wise since Richard Davey came here? Absolutely not. Tyshawn began working for the MBTA in 2009 and said he's one of many concerns. One of his many concerns was the agency's approach to safety. Alarming and unsafe track conditions exposed by an independent contractor when undressed for 6 years. He said safety measures on the job were also ignored. Do you guys find it strange? During Richard Davey's tenure, we had at least 2 derailments that made the papers. Same thing that's going on with when he was working at MBTA. Alarming and unsafe track conditions exposed by an independent contractor when undressed for 6 years. Does this all sound familiar to you? Now, I want to get to the next article, which is this one. Right? Now, this guy, Tyshawn, he sued, and I'm going to pull up the lawsuit in a second. He sued. It says the appeals court, and let me tell you something. He won. He did not lose. He won against Richard Davey and the other old boys in the network. The appeals court, however, said that T officials, all the way up to acting T general manager Jonathan Davis and state transportation secretary Richard Davey, had reason to want to squelch Tyshawn's repeated efforts to investigate problems with certain procurement contracts to get certain T workers to wear protective eyewear and to get the T to fix dangerous subway tracks, and that he is entitled to press his claim under a law protecting whistleblowers from retaliation by employees, specifically disclosures or threatened disclosures to a supervisor of an objections to an employer's activity, policy, or practice that the employee reasonably believes violates the law or poses a risk for public health or safety. The court added, one could reasonably infer that acting GM Davis did not appreciate Tyshawn's embarrassing disclosure of wrongdoing in a department that he personally had overseen, and that he wanted Tyshawn and his spotlight gone. That's straight retaliation. In this other part, it says in August 2012, the assistant sought in writing, Knievy's termination, that's the guy who they say was trying to circumvent all the safety stuff that was working for Davey and the other guy. Knievy's termination based upon Knievy's verbal threat, failure to enforce the eyewear policy, fraudulent time card reporting, and continued poor performance reviews. State Secretary of Transportation Richard Davey and acting GM Davis stepped in and created a new job for Knievy with minimal responsibilities and better pay. They also switched Knievy's reporting duties to Sean McCarthy, an old South Bay Boston buddy of Knievy. Now, imagine that. Picture that. Picture that. When Richard Davey first came to the MTA, he said he was going to make safety his top priority. How much reviewing and investigation did whoever hired Mr. Davey look into his past of, forget about the safety policies that they was ignoring, but how about him in the court? This is in the court documents that they retaliated against Tyshawn for reporting what they was doing that was wrong. Not only that, says in the document, Richard Davey switched this guy Knievy to a better paying job with less responsibilities because he was a part of the old boys network. Someone who's circumventing safety, do they deserve a promotion or should they get fired? Especially at that level. Richard Davey is not, he don't care about safety. This is his past. This is not me saying it. It's in the court documents. Richard Davey retaliates against whistleblowers. They fire whistleblowers who go against their friends in the old boys network. What kind of research did New York City Transit do before hiring Richard Davey? If safety is New York City Transit's and the MTA's number one priority, because they say, oh, safety, we say service over safety because they only care about service. They don't care about safety. The MTA, they supposed to say safety over service, because they selling the product, which is transportation, right? Why would you hire a president who had his hand involved with circumventing safety? I need answers for that. I need answers for that. Now, let's look into what the actual lawsuit says. In August 2012, Takate sought in writing Kenevy's termination based upon Kenevy's verbal threat, failure to enforce eyewear policy, fraudulent reporting, and continued poor performance reviews. State Secretary of Transportation Richard Davey and Acting GM Davis stepped in and created a new job for Kenevy with minimal responsibilities and better pay. They also switched Kenevy's reporting duties to the Sean McCarthy's and Old South Bay Boston buddy of Kenevy's. So when you seen that being mentioned in the paper, it came from the lawsuit, right? So a guy who's committing fraud, circumventing safety, making verbal threats, Richard Davey said, hey, we're not going to fire this guy. We're going to move him to a position with less responsibilities, more pay, and you're going to report to a friend. This is Richard Davey. And once again, what I have to say to the MTA, did y'all do any research? How can you say that safety is the number one priority when you guys are hiring a leader of a company that not only circumvents safety, but cover up for fraud, cover up for workplace violence, and other things? So it kind of like makes sense what happened with my case. It's being led by Davey. But there's more. There's more. Let's get to the more. During a telephone call in which Kenevy became loud, threatening, and abusive, Kenevy stated to Takate, I am going to fix you once and for all and for good by electronic mail. Takate notified senior management, including Davis and Perez and State Secretary of Transportation, Richard Davey, of Kenevy's outrageous behavior and threats, expressing his desire that Kenevy's be terminated, no action was taken. So Richard Davey, this guy made a threat via email. That means it's in writing. You was forwarded this email. This guy was circumventing safety. I'm going to keep saying this. This guy was circumventing safety. This guy was making threats in email, bold enough to make threats in email. That's Old Boys Club Network. And you guys gave him better pay, different position. No action was taken. This is what the lawsuit said. Right? This is not Promel making up stuff. This is not me doing anything. I'm not playing politics. I'm reading what's in the lawsuit. Let's look at this. The retaliatory animus supposedly extended to the upper echelons of management. One could reasonably infer that Acting GM Davis did not appreciate Trichon's embarrassing disclosure of wrongdoing in a department that he personally had overseen, and that he wanted Trichon and his spotlight gone. After having shelved the investigation to avoid the implication of more employees in the contract fraud, Davis evidently supported the insubordinate and hostile Kenevy over Trichon and Takate. Indeed, it could be inferred that Davis, supported by Secretary Davey, rewarded Kenevy with an objectively better job for his opposition. The complaint alleges that the consequence of McGuire's 6 years of nonfeasance as to track safety and his nondisclosure of the disturbing HNTB report was a planned transfer to the safety department. The treatment afforded to Kenevy and to McGuire plausibly suggested that they had influence far higher than their subordinate positions in the organizational chart. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. New York City Transit, what did y'all do? But you want to know what? The truth is that New York City Transit definitely had to know about how Richard Davey was managing the organization. That probably was the reason why he got hired, because that's how they want a leader like that. They want a leader who go after whistleblowers. They want a leader who's not going to be 100% with safety, because if management really took a true look at safety here, if they took an honest look at safety, these trains, these buses, a lot of this stuff wouldn't even be running if they took a true look at safety, right? So that possibly could have been the selling point as to why Richard Davey was hired. And not only that, there's other evidence out there regarding Davey where discrimination, they had to settle multiple lawsuits up under his tenure where women and blacks were being discriminated against. This guy fits the mold of New York City Transit. If the old boy club had a description, it would definitely say attack whistleblowers, ignore safety, protect your friends, give them better pay with less positions. Those are basic. Those are like the key requirements. This is how they take care of each other. This runs rampant in New York City Transit. If you are not within a certain network, no matter how great your work may be, no matter how much you do, if you go against one of them, you will not progress in this company. I know a whole bunch of managers that this has happened to, and I'm actually lining them up to start interviewing them to get them up and running for the summertime. Richard Davey, when he went, when the train derailed and the collision happened at 96th Street on the one line, and Richard Davey automatically said, we could rule out mechanical as basically human. He always looks to blame someone. He did it in Boston. I did a video in 2022 when he first came to New York City Transit, and I found a clip of him, you know, basically trying to blame the crews, whatever with the bus was. He did it during the collision at 96th Street. He has a history, a background of going after whistleblowers and protecting the people who the people is whistleblowing against. He has a history of giving his friends or the people who circumventing safety better jobs, better pay, less responsibilities, and having them report to their friends. This is what the old boys network is about. This is what they about. I would love to know why New York City Transit hired Richard Davey, besides him being white, because they're not hiring a black New York City president. And if they do, it's not going to be the black of my kind. Not at all. It's going to be the Oreo black. The ones that we're going to put you here because you're black, but you're going to play by our rules. See, a lot of people don't understand how these old boy networks work. They just don't understand it. And these old boy networks, they think that they so covert. They think that the trained eye and the trained ear cannot identify when they're trying to do others wrong. They think that they're so slick. They think that they're 10 steps ahead of everything. Richard Davey could have changed when he came here. But then when I think about the recent events, once again, the collision on 96th Street, the derailment in Coney Island, even with Richard Davey has never responded to a Tramell Thompson email. And this is what I try to tell them. You should always keep those lines of communications open. You can avoid a whole bunch of stuff. And it's obvious, even in my situation, that Richard Davey, the MTA definitely stacked the chips against me. There's no way possible that you could look inside my damn packet and say that I was responsible for what happened in my situation. But being the fact that I'm a whistleblower, being the fact that I come after the MTA, there's no different than how they treated the guy in Boston versus how they treated me. There's absolutely no difference. So back to New York City Transit. How did you guys come up with the idea to hire someone that you claim that you pride yourself on? You cannot say that you pride yourself on safety and you hire someone who circumvents safety and then someone who attacks whistleblowers and then someone, again, who the person who is circumventing the safety actually doing it, you give them a better pay, less responsibility to have them report to their friend. How does that make sense? This is why they hate progressive action, man. This is, you know what? I think that Richard Davi deserves his own show. Because, there, like I said, there's other stuff that I want to talk about with the discrimination with women and black people under his watch. Right? He's responsible for that. In fact, the government told Richard Davi that he must come up with some type of plan within 30 days when he was in Boston to fix the discrimination issue in the MBTA, or they would go lose their federal funding, all $275 million of that. So you got a New York City train president who has transit president who has a history of ignoring safety, who has a history of having his hands in attacking whistleblowers, who have a history of taking care of his friends in the Old Boys Network, who overseen a company who was going to lose their federal funding if they did not correct the discriminatory practices up under his watch. Y'all tell me how the hell Richard Davi got this job. How the hell did Richard Davi get the job? His whiteness. And the fact that he ran a transportation company before, that's why they gave it to him. Like, even if he was qualified, with him having that on his back, why would New York City Transit take that chance? Why would they? Not to mention, Richard Davi is a lawyer, and he can't even practice law in Boston, according to the licensing. He can't practice. I think his license is suspended in Boston, I believe, allegedly. I mean, to say that because I did some research on that probably like a year ago. That's one of the things that I found. But imagine that. How is he qualified to run such a prestigious operation named New York City Transit? Without a doubt, and let's not make no mistake, IFIT, right? I believe that Richard Davi was riding off of some of Bifit's success. Even, what's her name? Sarah Feinberg. They was riding off of the things that Bifit put in place, right? And Sarah was here. She was just an interim. But Richard Davi benefited off of the things that Bifit put in place. But how is Richard Davi qualified for New York City Transit? And boggles my mind. But you want to know what? They don't care who they hire to supervise or manage a whole bunch of black people. They don't care. They do not care. These managers, they don't care. They don't care. The warden just has to be black. The warden just has to be white. That's it. This company does not care at all. This company does not care. And but it's up to us. It's up to us to care. It's up to us to stand together. Unfortunately, we work for a company that does not value their employees. They don't value us. They treat us like criminals. They don't listen to us. They having some type of, meeting employee, I forgot what they call that. But they having something where employees could chime in via Zoom. They're going to be at College Point Depot taking questions and things of that nature. Anybody from College Point watching, ask him to address why did he take care of someone who was violating safety and give them less jobs, I mean, less responsibilities for more pay. Ask Richard Davi why in the lawsuit that the guy won. The guy won the lawsuit. Why did he retaliate against the whistleblower? Ask him. Why, when he was sent the email that this guy was threatening the whistleblower, that he decided to move him to a better position? I think that those are the questions that we should be asking Richard Davi when he comes to College Point Depot. That's how that should work, right? And whoever hired him, which I believe is Jan Oliva, Jan Oliva, how the hell did you come up with a decision to hire Richard Davi when he was having problems in a system that's way smaller than New York City Transit and less complex than New York City Transit? How the hell can you put that together? How did you make that hire? It boggles my mind. What they should have done was go back to Byford and offer him something. That's what they should have did. Byford must not have been the most qualified president there was. I'm quite sure he made mistakes. But guess what? You can't make mistakes purposely circumventing safety. You cannot make mistakes purposely taking care of people who's threatening people and giving them better pay with less responsibilities and having them report to their friends. Those things are deliberate. It's not a coincidence you acting like that and then you're about to lose federal funding. You're going to lose federal funding if you didn't put out some type of remedial plan addressing the discrimination under a company that you was overseeing. Y'all was about to lose $275 million because of y'all discrimination practices up under Richard Davi. New York City Transit, what the hell were you thinking? What the hell were you thinking hiring Richard Davi? And Richard Davi, I'm going to say this to you, sir. I don't think that ignoring my emails is a great thing. You should always try to keep open the lines of communication. But I get it. You like this black guy. I don't got to respond to him. Who do he think he is? You know, I'm going to fix him. Action speaks louder than words, my brother. Your actions are saying a lot. But that's cool. I get it. You feel like, you know, if you retaliated against the whistleblower, you liable of anything. And there's no bigger whistleblower than Trumell Thompson. And you want to know what? I can't wait for you guys. See, you notice. Pay attention to what's going on here. I got a team. I'm not talking about progressive action. I got me a political team. Y'all see me maneuvering around. I'm on the phone with people. The politicians are starting to listen to me. They are starting to listen. And when people start listening, when I talk, they start taking action. Y'all probably was counting on that, you know, not the politicians, not to mess with me, not to be in these certain circles, not to be in these certain rooms. Listen, I was at the governor's, I didn't tell y'all this. I was at the governor's, I told y'all this, but I didn't tell y'all what happened. I was at the governor's State of the State of speech, right? I was at the reception. Little old me in the reception, you know, what I'm doing in that space. I seen Jan Oliva, and I know that he seen me. Then he disappeared. Gone in the wind. Now, I don't got no problems with Lee, but I don't know what he's thinking. I don't got – all of this is politics. I don't got no problems with him. No, nothing personal, unless he personally attacked me. Matter of fact, he did. He went to the precinct on me and told them some BS. He had the MTA police go to the precinct and, you know, tell him some BS. But that's politics, right? But the fact of the matter is – it's only but so many spaces that they're going to be able to hide moving forward. I'm connected. And these politicians are listening. And that's what they fear. Right? I'm speaking to them. Some of them, they listen and they like, really? That went on? Wait, you got to sit down and tell me the story. What happened, bro? Oh, you didn't know how this company get down? You didn't know that this is how this happening? You ain't know this about the union? And just to be transparent, if you think that I'm lying, not y'all, but I tell them, if you think that I'm lying, tell them to sit down. Tell them your side of the story. Let them tell their side of the story, and I'll show you the side of the facts with the paperwork and everything else. Let's talk about it. Right? But these people, they are out of their minds. They think that we're foolish. They think that they can control everyone. And the only thing we want to do is we want to be respected. We want to get the pay that we deserve. We want to be safe. It's not like we're asking for a whole bunch of things. Everything is a fight with the MTA. When you look at what happened during the pandemic and we was all trying to find out our lives and, you know, wear masks, don't wear masks, wear gloves, wipe this down. The MTA was like, nah, we can't give y'all that because we don't want to scare the public. It's going to give the public the wrong point of view. Meanwhile, all of us is a lot of people got sick. Thousands of people got infected with COVID and hundreds died. This is the company that we work for. This is New York City Transit, people. This is who they are. This is who they are. I don't know. Maybe, this is what I wanted to say, because the retaliation never stops. So I'm expecting for them to deny my workers' comp or to appeal my workers' comp after I won. I'm expecting for them to do that. That's part of their retaliation. Now, they could say, we have every right. Yeah, they do have the right, but the coincidence is crazy. The coincidence of them denying my comp is crazy. Their reason for even, like, their reason was pretty wild. But even wanting to fight, like, how can you fight my comp case when my injury was undeniable? But this is a part of the retaliation. They put other things in place to make you suffer, especially if you're a whistleblower. I've experienced it. During this whole entire time, when people, the things that I went through, the fight that I went through last year, right? A lot of people thought that I was finished, right? A lot of people was like, oh, he's done. He's going to get fired. It's over for him. How he's going to come back? Me, I never gave up on myself. I never thought that I wasn't going to come back. Why? Because for one, I walk in faith and I always keep God first all the time, every time. So there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to come back. The thing is that I came back stronger than ever. God put me in a position where I'm at certain tables now. I'm in certain rooms that I didn't have access to before. Tables that there wasn't a seat for me at the table before. Now I have that type of access. When everybody thought that I was going to get fired or my ego was going to get in the way and, oh, he's going to fight this, the arbitrator is going to fire him, and we're going to get rid of him. Let me ask y'all a question. You think that if you would have got rid of me, this work would have stopped? Absolutely not. It would have got worse, because guess what? When you got people sending me information and the MTA say, oh, you can't post this because, you know, it's against the rules and this. If I'm not working here, guess what? If I'm not working here, I could post whatever I want. How you go discipline me? I never give up the sources. Never give up the sources. Right? So how was y'all going to do that? But I fooled y'all because I know when the chips are stacked against me. I know how to maneuver in this lane. See, the thing is this: the FDA, they control the grievance process. They control the arbitrators. They control everything inside 2 Broadway and everything MTA. That is their territory. You would never beat someone on their own territory, their own land, where they know where the landmines are, where you don't got no missiles, you don't got no support. You don't take them there. What you got to do is drag them off of their territory and take them to a territory that you are familiar with, a territory that's more fair and don't really care about the politics, right? That's where you win at. And every time I drag the MTA out of their own territory, they have lost. They have lost. And sometimes when you doing this type of work, it's about living to fight another day. And by me taking that deal, which I wasn't going to win on their territory, it allowed me to fight another day. And to be honest, I mean, I love what I do. As a conductor, I love being a conductor. I could have been a supervisor. I got called for that. I didn't take it. I got calls for a train operator. I didn't take it. I love being a conductor. But I don't care if I never come back to the job. I don't care. I'm not one of those black folks that is limited in options in life. I right now, I have the best job that I ever had in my life. And I love what I'm doing. I love helping. I love connecting and meeting people. I love doing power plays. So I'm not one of those Negroes that you could hold the carrot of my job in front of me and say, if you don't do right, you're going to lose this. No, I'm going to do what's morally right. Even if I have to go against the company when they go out in the media and lies. Could y'all imagine where we would be? Let's be honest. I want to be honest with you guys. Where will we be if there wasn't a Progressive Action Voice? Let's be honest. This is the only platform where you could call in. You could state what's on your mind. This is the only platform that's consistent, been consistent for the past 8, 9, 10 years, giving out information. They keep saying, oh, don't listen to them. They wrong. They this, they that. Not one time has any one of their supporters called in to try to rebut me, try to discuss with me where I may be wrong at. They haven't done anything. Why? Because my truth is deadly. They don't want to embarrass themselves. They know that I know way more than what I knew 5 years ago. And if they wasn't willing to come on then, they damn sure ain't willing to come on now. So I need for y'all to understand that. If it wasn't for Progressive Action, where would we really be? Right? Because everybody tried to launch some type of information channel, videos, lives, and all this other stuff, and it didn't work out for them. Right? I don't know if it was their delivery. I don't know if people don't believe them. I don't know if it was their platform. I don't know what it is. But we are the only ones who have been consistent, more consistent than the union administration, who gets y'all union dues. We don't, if y'all ain't do it yet, donate to the platform, $PROGRESSIVEACTION100. Y'all giving them the union dues, and they giving y'all the bare minimum in return. Richard Davis at his coming out party for his slate, he said, I want to give MTA bus this. I want to do this for them. I want to do that for them. Sir, you just negotiated the contract for them. Why didn't you give it to them then? Don't start selling people lies now. And it's all right. If you like Richard Davis, there's nothing wrong with that. If you like him, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's cool. You could like whoever you want to like. But stop letting the liking think that this person is a good leader. Richie Davis, probably cool to hang out with. He's a horrible leader. He does not deserve to be president of Local 100. He does not deserve to be president of this union. His actions say it all. And what I want to say is this. Richie, whoever told you to go against me, they gave you the worst advice ever. Why? Because I have a platform. You know about your indiscretions because you and I spoke about it that time that I met. and I have the ability to truly embarrass you. I have the ability to truly embarrass you. So whoever gave you that wrong advice, they definitely gave you, you know, like I like right now, you I felt that, you know, Richie went into the news. How can a union president go into the newspaper and say that a member started a fight when he's supposed to be representing both members? Now, I could take that as disrespect. I could go put that digital truck in front of on Beverly Road. I could go do that and keep it in front of your home. I could go do that. Nothing could stop me from doing that. What could stop me from doing it? Nothing. But you, whoever you listened to and told them to go against me, that was a horrible decision. Horrible decision. And you deserve to have that truck in front of your home. You deserve for me to go print out newsletters and give it to all your neighbors with your picture on it, talking about the lawsuit, talking about your supposed union president, but you speaking to the newspapers about a member when you're supposed to represent all of us. I could talk about your indiscretions that me and you had conversations about. But like I said, whoever gave you that advice, and I hear the little whispers. Nobody around, you think people around you is loyal. You, I hear the whispers, sir. If they keep going, that truck is going to be in front of your home. Those newsletters is going to be to your neighbors. So the choice is yours. Continue to take bad advice from them or listen to your mind, and you let them turn you against me after we had a conversation about everything that was supposed to happen. You let them control you. Now we are here with it. But without further ado, donate to the platform, $Progressive Action 100. If you're watching on Facebook, sending stars. If you're watching on YouTube, join the channel. It's 99 cents. Please make sure you join the channel. It's 99 cents just to join. Like and share the video. Like and share the video, no matter what platform you on, Facebook, YouTube, be on Instagram, Twitter. Like, share, subscribe, retweet, do all that stuff. The next show that I do, I want to just focus in on Richard Davey. We just go do a show on him, and we go get down to the bottom of what New York City Transit was thinking when they hired a manager who circumvents safety, who protect people, who threaten people, give them better pay, less responsibilities, and keeping that old boys network intact. I'll catch you guys later. Tramell Thompson. Peace.